Would you please turn to Mark chapter 5? Mark chapter 5. And we'll pick this up in verse 21. It says, when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Jump on over to verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. Those five words should be burned in our mind. Because every time we hear something that is not the kind of thing that we want to hear, immediately we should hear Jesus saying, be not afraid, only believe. No matter what it is, that's what we should hear. That word here in verse 36, that word afraid, it comes from the Greek word phobeo, as in phobia, as in fear. It comes from that Greek word, and it implies an interesting concept of fear. It can be used in a sense of a reverential fear of God, but it all depends on the context. And so here's Jesus, and the ruler had gone to him and said, look, my daughter is really sick. She's about to die. Would you please come and minister to her, and she'll live? And so Jesus is on his way to do that. Well, he gets word, the ruler gets word. He says, look, your daughter's dead. You know, don't bother Jesus anymore. And the moment Jesus heard that, the moment that he heard that, he looked at this ruler. And I mean, I can just see Jesus looking him right in the eyes and saying, be not afraid, only believe. I mean, looking right through him. Now, I want you to think about some imagery here. This man had gone to Jesus and said, my daughter's sick, she's going to die. If you'll come and minister to her, she won't die. She'll live. She'll be healed. And so that's what Jesus was going to do. Jesus would not have done it if it hadn't been God's will. Now, we know that. So because it was God's will, it was Jesus' will. And so Jesus was going to minister to that girl. And she was going to be healed. However, in between... Now, okay. Why did that man go to Jesus? Because he believed Jesus could bring about healing, right? I mean, obviously, why would he do that unless he believed that Jesus could bring about healing? So he went to Jesus in faith for this to happen, for the healing to manifest. And so as Jesus is in the process of going to that girl to minister healing, this man hears something which contradicts the very actions of Jesus. Jesus is walking with this guy, heading back to his house. But yet, somebody comes along and says, look, she's dead. It's not going to happen. And instantly Jesus says, no, hold on a second. Don't be afraid. Only believe. So this man went to Jesus because he wanted his daughter to be healed. Now I want you to think of it like this. The moment that Jesus began walking with this man back to his house, healing was in the process of manifesting. Do you understand that? So, even though nobody could see the healing being manifested in that girl's body, healing was in the process of being manifested because Jesus was on the way. When we believe in faith for something, in this case it was healing, and it's something that we believe that God has said He'll do, whatever it is, it is almost inevitable, somehow, some way, you're going to hear the words, "This is hopeless, it is a dead situation, and it's not going to happen." Regardless of what it is, doesn't matter. Maybe somebody's sick, job, money, I don't care, anything. It is inevitable you'll hear something along those lines to contradict what it is that God has already said in His Word. It may not be a verbal something. You understand what I mean by that? It could be a thought that rises up within. But the first thing you're going to hear from the Lord is, don't be afraid, only believe. Because the healing was in the process of manifesting. Now, what if the ruler who had been acting in faith, when he heard the words, "She's dead, don't bother Jesus anymore," what if he had just walked off wailing and crying? I mean, what if he had just said, "Forget this, just, you know, it's over, she's dead"? And what if he had walked away from Jesus? Well, there's a really good chance the girl would have stayed dead. I hope you're understanding this. Because one of the things that's going to happen for us is, in our life, we're going to be facing situations. And in so many of these situations, fear is going to try and dominate. And this whole thing of fear is interesting. See, in essence, fear is believing in an anticipated outcome that may never take place. It creates, fear creates a false inner vision that can override the image God's Word would create. Because, you know, this guy is believing for his daughter to be healed because he went to Jesus and he figures he can do this. But then he gets word she's dead. So he could have captured the vision of her funeral. He could have captured the vision of her grave. He could have had within him the vision of life without her. He could have had all this stuff be painted in his mind by the words of that person who said, "She's dead, don't trouble the Master anymore." But then Jesus immediately turns to him and says, "Don't be afraid, only believe." So what Jesus is doing is delivering the Word of God to him to try and paint over the canvas of fear and paint an image of her living, playing, growing up, doing all those things that little girls do. Well, we know, we continue to read this, and we know that that's what happened. I mean, she got healed. It was a miracle. And even when they got to his house, there were more people there to reinforce the death of the daughter. It says in verse 38 that when they got to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, they saw all these people had gathered together, and they were weeping and wailing greatly. And Jesus walked into the house and he says, "Why make you this ado?" In other words, why is all this commotion going on? Why are you weeping? The damsel, the little girl, she's not dead, but she sleeps. That's his perspective. That's how he sees it. But to everybody else, she's dead. And verse 40, it says, they laughed him to scorn. They're not reinforcing what he's going to do and what to him, by faith, has already been accomplished. They're coming in line with she's already dead, and they're trying to paint over the words of Jesus, don't be afraid, only believe. They're trying to reinforce it's not going to happen. It's not going to change. Nothing's going to take place. And so Jesus, verse 40, look at this. When he had put them all out, he took the mom, the dad, and them that were with him, you know, Peter, James, and John. And they went in and Jesus healed her. He had to put all those people out. In other words, he had to shut down the voices of those who were coming against what Jesus said. Another way to say this, Jesus had to cast down the imaginations and every high thing that was exalting itself against the knowledge of God. Don't be afraid. Only believe. See, fear is an interesting thing because it doesn't always manifest itself in stress or anxiety or emotional upheaval. A lot of people think in terms of fear as being something where someone is just, you know, pulling out their hair and they're just all worked up and so forth. But fear doesn't always manifest that way. See, fear can sometimes manifest itself in an emotionally managed inner resolution to a fate not decreed by God. Let me say that again. Listen closely. Fear can be an emotionally managed inner resolution to a fate not decreed by God. Now I'm going to give you an example. I have seen videos, and I don't mean movies, I mean the literal videos of people being executed by terrorists. Don't ask how, just I've seen them. And in the one video, the terrorists had their machine guns, and they marched these men, there's about 12 of them maybe, they marched them up against it wasn't brick, but it was a wall. I don't think it was cement. It might have, I don't know what it was, but it was somewhere over there in the Middle East. Just up against this wall, it was about maybe 8 feet tall. It looked like it might have been the wall of a house or a building or whatever. Just marched them up there, and these guys were standing there, and then the terrorists just stood back with their machine guns and just shot them. Just shot them. And then after the guys are on the ground, another terrorist went walking down the line and just kept shooting them to make sure they were dead. Now, there are videos similar to that available where the Germans did that to people during World War II. They had the people dig ditches, and then they had the people stand in front of the ditches, and then they just shot them, and the people fell in the ditch, and they brought in the next bunch, shot them, and they fell into this. And these people are not handcuffed. They're not shackled together. They're like you and me right now. I mean, we're not bound, okay? But those people, fear had gotten to the point to where there was no emotional display, but they had come to the place of an inner resolution of a fate that God did not decree. And that fate was, we're going to die. Shoot. And I'm thinking, run. Run. I mean, look, if you don't run, you know they're going to shoot you and kill you. If you do run, what if they're bad? They got bad aim or something. Seriously, what if you make it? What if you do escape? Well, what if I don't? Then you're going to die. But you know you're going to die if you don't try to run. Do you understand what I'm saying? Fear can get a person to the place to where they are resolved that the worst case scenario is going to happen. At that point, they give up. They just totally give up. Now, we see things like that, these extreme examples that I just shared, and we think, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that? Just why would you just give up? Because fear has said there's no hope. Fear has said this is the way it is. This is the way it's going to end. This is your last few moment, minute, whatever on earth. This is it. So just stand there and take it. Well, I don't know, but as I'm standing here, I'm thinking, I don't want to take it. I'll try and run. I'll try to get away. You say, well, yeah, but Brother Martin, that's pretty cowardly. You'd run away and let all those other people get shot? Well, they could run too if they wanted. And if we all start running, they might have a hard time killing us all. Who knows? Self-preservation is not cowardly. Now, I understand if you're in the military and you've got a responsibility, you know, to fight, I get that. But you guys also understand what I'm talking about. But fear can get you to the place to where you don't have this emotional upheaval. You just come to an inner resolution. This is it. This is what's going to happen. It can be all kinds of things. And it's not just a matter of being shot. It can be all kinds of things. Okay, you know, you go in to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, the tests are back, and I'm sorry, but you have cancer in your gizzard. And you're thinking, oh, no, I didn't know I had a gizzard. And I've got cancer. So, okay, what image is now going to be painted? What image is going to be painted? Because you can sit there and immediately, on the inside of you, you can begin painting the image of your funeral. Well, I wonder who's going to be there. I hope she doesn't show up. I don't like her. We never got along. Who knows what she'd say? You can have all these images. Will they have fried chicken at the dinner afterwards? Wonder what the preacher, well, I better figure it all out. Now, there's one thing to be said for planning ahead. Look, we all know, you know, dust we are and to dust we return. You could live to be 150 years old, but the day's coming, and we all know that. So planning ahead, that's one thing. But when fear begins to paint the image of your future, that's what's going to happen. There are people who have not pursued career opportunities because of fear. Fear of failure. And that's one of the things that I battled. Man, there were things that I didn't do in life because I was afraid. I was fearful. But if I had known then, if I had understood things then like I do now, I wouldn't have done it that way. It would have been different. But I had these fears on the inside, and I didn't share them with people. I just lived with it, and I let it create failure inside of me when that was not God's decreed destiny for me. But I let fear tell me what was going to happen. And it never happened. There are people, you know, I shared a what you might call a horror story about a flying before the sermon. But there are some people who won't fly because they have a fear of flying. Well, statistically, flying is safer than driving your car. Seriously. Statistically, flying is safer. Well, yeah, but if the plane crashes. Okay, that's fear. Has your plane crashed yet? Well, no, I'm not even on one. Okay, then. Fear will absolutely shackle you to a life God has not designed. Look over in Mark 11. In Mark 11, verse 22, Jesus says, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. I know there's, you know, more beyond this verse, these verses, but we're going to stop right there. Fear will render what Jesus just said impossible. Fear will keep all of this from happening. All of it. See, you can go through the motions of this, Well, yeah, I believe, you know, and I say. And so here you are, you're confessing. But notice Jesus adds this little caveat in here, and shall not doubt in his heart. See that? You can be the confessingest thing in the world. You can be the prayingest thing in the world. You confess and pray and pray and confess. But that fear feeds the doubt. And so you can, on the surface and in front of everybody, it looks like you're doing everything right. You're going through the motions. Everybody's impressed. And then you can come back and you can say, I've been doing this confession stuff, and it just doesn't work. But that's not what Jesus said. Well, I know, but it just doesn't work. Why not? Well, because I've been doing this stuff. Hold on a second. If one or two people here has got it wrong, Jesus or you, and I'm going with you. Because Jesus has said, if you confess it, if you pray, and don't doubt, and fear will produce that doubt. As you begin to confess and pray for things, you can have this fear on the inside. It's not going to happen. This fear on the inside, nothing's going to change. And that governs, it's amazing. Because the mouth is speaking what it's supposed to speak only because it has been trained by preachers to say that. But on the inside, where it counts, the fear is feeding the doubt. And you're not going to get the results. Because if that fear and that doubt is in there, that lack of believing that you receive, if that's what's going on the inside, you're not going to get it. Whether it's healing, whether it's a change in, I don't care, whatever it is. I mean, we can make a whole list of what it could be. If that fear is there, it's not going to happen. And again, remember, fear doesn't have to manifest itself in panic and sweat and all this other. Fear can be this thing on the inside that is controlling your belief system because you don't think it's going to happen. Look over in Proverbs chapter 3. I have experienced what I'm sharing with you in people, and it presents itself to me as being extremely frustrating. Because when you sit in churches like this that believe in faith and believe in confessing and things like that, people hear it, people hear it, people hear it. And then it's like they're a recorder. They rewind and play it. Only it's their voice which becomes the speaker of what has been recorded on the inside. But they don't really believe it. Now, they've been trained to say they believe it. But see, when you have this kind of belief operating, the real kind of, the do not be afraid, only believe belief. When that's at work on the inside of you, you're not going to get worked up. And every one of us in here, we can relate to that worked up feeling on the inside. We know what that's like, even if we don't talk about it. Even if we don't say it, we know what that is like on the inside. But when you have that be not afraid, only believe going on inside of you, then your inner reaction is going to be totally different. And you're going to have a settledness on the inside of you. You're going to have a peace on the inside about what's going on. Kind of like what the Apostle Paul said, you know, for to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. He says, quite frankly, I'm kind of torn between the two. I kind of like to just die and go on and be with the Lord. Well, that sounds weird. I'm boy, psychologists would have a field day with somebody like that. But see, when we come to that place of having that only believe on the inside of us, then we're not going to be shaken. If you look here in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, I don't know how much more plain God has to make it. But it's almost like, as Christians, we have been trained so much to lean to our own understanding, on our own emotions, on our own soul, our own flesh, on our own abilities, that it's like it takes a while for us to get to the place of living these verses. And it's not that we can't, but if you're not in a church that reinforces this, you don't get to this point. But yet you can come to the point of trusting the Lord with all your heart. This is what Jesus did. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Well, it seems to me, well, okay, yeah, I understand that statement, but what has God said to you? What are you getting from the Lord in this? In all your ways, everything, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy paths. Well, He's not going to instill fear. That's not going to happen. He says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Another way to say that, you know, to kind of maybe paraphrase these verses is, God knows more than me. God knows more than I know. God is smarter than I. God is better at planning things than I. So therefore, compared to God, I'm stupid in and of myself. Now, somebody would say that's a negative, terrible, horrible confession. But isn't that kind of what he's saying right here? And then in another place, I didn't write down the verse, but it says, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof there are the ways of death. In other words, God is saying, you're really too dumb to figure all this out on your own. He doesn't say it like that because he doesn't want to hurt our feelings. But if you kind of read between the lines, it's like God is saying, you don't understand these things the way that you should. Now, granted, I know there are a lot of things we do understand. And he knows that too. But we know the message that he's trying to get across to us. That's just like that fella. He goes to Jesus. He does the right thing. He says, Jesus, look, my daughter, sick, about to die. But if you come, you'll minister, she'll be healed. That was absolutely the right thing to do. And so Jesus honors the man's faith and begins the process of healing that little girl. But along the way, another voice chimes in and says, she's dead. Well, in the natural, she was. She's dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore. The guy had a choice right then. He could have said, oh, okay, well, thanks anyway, Jesus. See ya. But no, Jesus jumped in. I mean, as soon as those words came out of that person's mouth, Jesus looks at that man and he says, don't be afraid, only believe. In other words, continue what you started a little bit earlier. You believed and you came to me. Now, don't let fear stop you in your tracks. Continue to believe. Continue on this path of belief in me. Look in Romans chapter 16. I want to show you an interesting way that fear can impact our lives. In Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Now when he says, mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine you've learned, what doctrine had they learned? Well, what Paul and Peter and James and the whole bunch of them were teaching. And then he says, the people that do this, that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. Well, how do they cause these divisions? Because they're teaching something that is opposed to this doctrine. He said, those folks, they're not really serving our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, they're serving their own belly. But what it means is they're serving their own purposes, their own intentions. And he said, with good words and fair speeches and very influential preaching, they deceive the hearts of the simple. And it's not like they stand up and their intention is to lie. They truly believe what they're saying. But just because they believe it, it doesn't mean that it's right. It's still contrary or opposed to the doctrine established by the apostles. Now you present this verse, these two verses, and somebody could say, yeah, boy, I tell you what, thank God I've learned this, and I can do this. In fact, I do it. If one of them comes on TV, boom, I just turn them off. You know, I switch over to, you know, watch an old episode of John Wayne or something like that. You know, I just turn them off. I don't listen to them on the radio. I don't get their sermons, and I don't go to their websites and all that. So, yeah, you're right, Brother Martin, I do that. Okay, well, hold on. Wait, what about this? What if this is describing the pastor of your church? Herein lies the problem. Somebody comes along and they begin meditating in the Word of God, spending time with the Holy Spirit, so on and so forth. Well, they begin to notice something. It's like, you know what? What the pastor was teaching on today, I mean, there's part of that wasn't right. He took Scripture out of context. And then the next Sunday, it's like, no, we don't have to do that anymore as Christians. That's, in other words, this person starts to realize that the pastor means well, great delivery, but he's been wrong about a lot of things for so many years. And God says to avoid them. Well, how are you going to do that? I mean, you can't walk into church and change the channel. How are you going to do that? You leave. You leave. And you go to another church. And here's where the fear hits. But I've been going to this church 15, 18, 22, 25, 30 years. Where would I go? Fear. Where would I go? I mean, I'm not going to be one of these people just doesn't go to church anywhere. What would I do? Fear begins to set in. And you've got all your friends in that church. What are my friends going to say? I mean, how am I going to deal with this? And what if there's family that goes to the church as well? How's this going to work with the family? I mean, man, it's going to cause problems. It's going to cause problems in the family. You wait and see. And what if a family member's the pastor? How am I going to do this? Fear. Fear begins to set in. Fear of the problems that could arise. And you know what? They might. They might. But that fear, and I've seen this happen over the years, that fear will keep you anchored in a place where your soul is going to be fed wrong doctrine. Over and over and over. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to have this unsettled feeling on the inside. But you have to keep searing it and searing it and searing it to the point to where you are numb to the conviction and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. See, when people talk about fear, a lot of times they talk about, you know, well, the diagnosis from the doctor, or I may lose my job, and how am I going to pay my bills, and so on and so forth. They don't think about it from this perspective. But that's what it is, it's fear. And there are a lot of folks over the years, people that have spoken to me, they've been afraid to leave the church they're attending, even though they tell me they know the pastor is wrong. And I tell them, well, look, you know, if you know this, then you got to, you know, what does God want you to do? Well, I got to keep peace in the family. You know what? You don't answer to me. But if you've come to me and asked me what you're supposed to do, I'm telling you right now, you better not put your family ahead of God. In fact, isn't that kind of what Jesus was talking about over there in Luke? If you're not going to love me more than your family and your own life, you can't be my disciple. So, you know, if you're going to stay there, that's on you. But in your heart, you know what you need to do. And some people, they are afraid to initiate that battle because they are afraid their family will ostracize them. Well, isn't that kind of what happened to Jesus? I mean, doesn't the Bible say something about some of his family members thought he was crazy? Sooner or later, you know, you got to do what you know you're supposed to do. You know, we've all heard the term, you know, choose your battles. I understand that. But at the same time, when you know what you're supposed to do and you don't do it, what else do you expect from God? Because if he is saying you need to leave that church and where would I go? What do you think God's going to come back? If you go to God and you say, God, I hear what you're saying. You're telling me I need to leave this church, but God, where am I going to go? What do you think he's going to say? I don't know. Just he knows what you need to do. He knows where he'll lead you. He knows what this plan is. And that's why he says here, what we read over there in Proverbs, about trust him, he'll direct your paths. He'll show you what to do. Look over in Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Look at verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Now somebody could go back and they could say, well, man can do a lot to you. Man could fire you. Man could, you know, punch you in the nose. Man could do a lot. Let me kind of rephrase this. He says, still here, Psalm 118 in verse 6, the Lord is on my side. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? What can man do unto me that is greater than what the Lord can do for me? Because the Lord is on my side. He says, look at this. Verse 7, the Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Even if that man is you. It is better to trust the Lord. Look over in Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. We have to put our trust in him no matter what we're facing. I had a conversation with somebody one time, and this person was sharing with me about a family situation and how that things weren't done the way that they should have been done. They found out about it after the fact, and now this person is afraid that they're going to be homeless, have nothing, so on and so forth. And as I'm talking to this person, they've actually consulted an attorney to try to get whatever paperwork needs to be done correctly. I mean, I won't even get into all the story. It's not like somebody's suing somebody because they're mad. They're trying to fix a problem. And I said, well, you know, you're going to have to trust God in this. And they know this. They know this. But yet, the tears were still there. Okay? That is a battlefield. And when you're trusting God, it doesn't mean that you won't engage those emotions in warfare. Because, man, they're going to try and take you down. But what it means is you don't give up. And in the middle of the tears, you're crying out, God, I trust you. God, these tears, don't let them fool you. I'm trusting you and emotions. You will not control me. I am trusting God. I am putting my faith in Him. And He's going to deliver me. He's going to see me through. And I'm going to experience the victory, the blessings, the promises, all of it that God has declared. And one of the ways to be, okay, right now, everything's going great. Okay, well, you and I both know everything going great comes to an end. Because sooner or later, something happens. You know, it could be something like the lawnmower breaks down. Okay, well, you got to have a lawnmower, but now you have to deal with something that you hadn't planned on dealing with, got to pay for something you hadn't planned on paying for. On and on it goes, okay? So now everything's not as great as it was last week. But God's Word, when you get into it, it is going to prepare you for these things. Because, see, God's Word will not train you to have fear. God's Word will train you to trust God and overcome fear. See, this whole thing of this fear, it's really a lack of trust in God as Father, as covenant partner, and as God. But when we come to that place of understanding who we are, and that's the image that the Word of God will paint on the inside here for us, it will show us this is who you are. This is what your Father has promised you. It's also what your covenant partner has promised you. And this covenant is established on the blood of your covenant partner's son. Okay, this is what He's going to do for you. He can't lie. He can't fail. He didn't say everything was going to be happy time. But He did say He's got a solution. He did say He will direct your path. And some of these paths may be a little bit longer than others. But He will see you through. And when you have that kind of confidence, stuff will happen, prepared for it or not. I mean, stuff's going to happen, but you're going to be okay. And you're not going to be overthrown by emotions and fear that want to take control. Because if that happens, you lose all perspective. And you react in ways that you shouldn't react. But when you trust in God, He's going to get you through. And the Word paints that image on our hearts.